Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to call in your real ghost story and share it with us. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Of course, you can also go to the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you hear a sudden bang or boom in the background of this episode, it's not an EVP. It's not the dead coming to give us a message in our new home. It's simply people working on the house, because with a house, there comes a lot of shit you didn't see coming, like dripping water through your ceiling. So we had some of that going on in the other rooms. And I wanted to save this for when we're doing the show here, to tell Jenny what we found in the ceiling.
No, you didn't find anything in the ceiling. You're so full of shit.
We had to cut the drywall out of the basement ceiling because there's a leaky pipe or something. And when we cut it out, we found a finger.
You did not.
Just a single pinky. Just the upper part. That's it. It was very bizarre.
I'm not buying
I'm getting a glare.
I'm not buying it.
No, I know. I knew it wouldn't work, but I thought I'd try. I was like, what else could I say? Pinky, finger, toe, little toe. That'd have been interesting.
Yeah.
The mystery toe. That sounds like a Nancy Drew book, or like something like a choose your own adventure.
Mystery toe.
I wonder how that choose your own adventure would
go. Sounds more goosebumpsy to me.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. The little toe that could. Or a children's book. It could be a little golden book as well.
Oh, God.
And little Timmy found the toe in the rafters. That could be interesting, like a mummified thing.
Uh-huh.
We were at one of the Ripley's. We get stories all the time from Ripley's. And we were at the one here in Branson the other day. And Harper was thrilled because Optimus Prime was there, and she loves Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also like a whole room where it's kind of creepy. It's a lot of like shrunken heads, and they're real and stuff. And there's a lot of things in Ripley's that are kind of recreations, mm-hmm, of other things, but these were real.
Okay.
So I kind of think that might be some of the reasoning why you have some of those things going on there.
It could be.
I mean, I don't think there was a giant roll of toilet paper as well of Charmin. Not getting any weird vibes from that.
No.
But we just kind of scurried through the shrunken head portion and went on to the next part. So anyway, adventures galore. Damn, I was really hoping I could get you with a little finger.
Nope.
Damn. She just sees it coming.
I do.
All too well. Let's go to our first call here today at Real Ghost Stories Online and see what we got. Let's go to Danielle in California. Hi.
Hi, my name is Danielle, and I'm from Southern California. And I have this story. It's from quite a while back, about 10 years or so, well, more like 15. Back when I was 16, I got into some trouble and I was sent to Arkansas to stay with my cousins for the summer. and they lived in a tiny town called Green Forest, Arkansas. And the house always had kind of a strange feeling. It was not a super old home, but it just, I don't know, it just had a weird feeling. And I've always been able to hear things and sometimes see things all my life. So it wasn't a feeling that I'm not used to. I could just tell that something was there. And small things would happen at night. My cousin would work nights, and she had two small boys, and so I would stay at night and watch them. And of course, you know, we would all be sleeping, but strange things would happen. Like, we would hear, it would sound like my cousin would come home from work, and we kept the hall light on, and we would, you know, well, not the little boys, but I would see a shadow walk by like my cousin was home. And a couple times I went out to say hi to her. She got off around 1 in the morning, and she wouldn't be home yet. So, and underneath the carpet, it was wood, so you could hear someone walking down the hallway. It was a pretty, you know, a sound that stood out. You know, you could hear them creaking, you could hear the steps. And that would happen every once in a while. And also at night, not just myself, but my cousin also on her nights off, we would hear people arguing in the kitchen. It was a man and a woman's voice. And, you know, my cousin and myself, we were the only people in the house, and we're both girls. The little boys were asleep at night. They shared a room. And so that was just kind of an odd thing, you know, to hear. And it was almost like whispering, like they didn't want to be heard. They weren't screaming. It's like they were keeping their voices down, and you couldn't make out what they were saying, but you could tell that just the tone of their voice was strained, and like they were arguing with each other. And this happened, I'd say about 5 or 6 times during the 3 months that I stayed there. So the main thing that happened, that my story is about, is one night my cousin was at work, and her two little boys sometimes didn't want to sleep in their own room, so they would sleep on the floor in the room that I stayed in. So I made them a nice bed, and they crashed out quick. I think they were like 3 and 6. They were small, so they had, you know, an early bedtime. And I had stayed up for a while reading, and then I went to lay down. I turned the light off, laid down. The hall light was on. And about 5 minutes after I had laid down, I was not asleep yet, but I was just, you know, starting to drift off. I hear so clear in my left ear that it sounded like it was right up to the side of my head, a whisper. And it was kind of a high voice, but I couldn't tell if it was man or woman. And it whispered, "I'm right here." I figured it was one of my cousin's kids. So I sat up and I looked, and they're still asleep on the floor. No one else in the home. It was just the strangest feeling. It's almost like it was in my head, the voice. It was louder than a whisper, but it was only in my left ear, and I can still remember it was so clear. And it wasn't like a threatening voice. It was just like letting me know that it was there, and it was kind of like a rushed whisper. And I will remember that to this day. The next day I told my cousin about it, and she just didn't really know what to make of it. And it's just something that's really stood out as one of my memories for that house. Anyway, just wanted to hear what you guys thought of it. I love your podcast. I discovered it a few weeks ago, and I think it's great that you have this outlet for people to tell their stories, because a lot of times it's hard to find people that will believe what you say. Anyway, hope to hear my story soon on your podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for calling in and sharing your story with us.
I think ghosts have this knack of saying a phrase that it depends on how it's taken, that it could be either terrifying or comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, "I'm right here." You know, it just depends on how they say it. And a lot of times that doesn't come through real clear. So you can be totally freaked out. It sounds really ominous, but they're just letting you know, you're not babysitting alone. I'm here.
Yeah, it's not necessarily, it's like a text.
Like,
where you, sometimes you can't get the context of or the tone of how it's being said. And they're still, I think, sometimes operating on the level of being living and speaking as if they were, not really realizing how that might come across from someone that you can't see or
exactly
or normally hear. So yeah, I agree. Do you think that this is something where she's sensitive and she's exclusively hearing these things or experiencing these things, or is this something that's strong enough that other people are picking up on too?
No, because nobody else seems to pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
In that, I don't know if it's a house, apartment, I don't remember, but she's the only one really picking it up.
Sure.
So I kind of think maybe her light's shining a little bit brighter, and so it's just letting her know it's there.
Congratulations. You have the brightest light in the contest today. So there you go. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Carnell in Michigan. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Carnell from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I've written in a couple times before. The first was about I saw a figure in my bedroom doorway, and the second was a handful of stories that I got from friends and family. I was recently listening to, I believe it was EPP episode 14, and I think it was the last story on that episode. There was a guy who had an office, and he was going to take a certain document and seal it in plastic, but he would have had to wait for the machine to heat up. And he left his document at the machine. He came back 15 minutes later, and his document was gone. And that reminded me of something that happened to me about 8 or 9 years ago. I was about 19 at the time, and I was working at a catering company for a couple years. And the first things I noticed were just out of the corner of my eye while I was working back in the kitchen. There's a doorway out to the front counter and the dining area, and I would close down the shop a lot, and after we would close down and lock the doors, sometimes out of the corner of my eye I would see someone walking around by the front counter. And at first I just played it off as, you know, my imagination. You know, it was kind of later at night, and you know, I thought my mind was just playing tricks on me, until one day a coworker of mine, who's still a very good friend of mine, actually one of my best friends to this day, his name is Jeremy, and one night we were working together, and we got to talking about it, and he said that he noticed that too. Like, every once in a while, out of the corner of his eye, he'd think that he saw someone walking out in the front lobby. And then we actually started hearing people talking after we locked up. And, you know, we'd look at each other and we'd ask, "Do you hear that?" And we would, of course, we would go check the lobby, and there would be no one there. One particular afternoon on a Saturday, which on Saturdays we closed at 2 p.m., we had just got done with work. We had locked up, shut off all the lights. We had already finished cleaning up and everything. Jeremy was going to take out trash bags, and I had needed to use the restroom. And I would always carry this big black computer bag with me, like a laptop bag. And I set it out against the wall between the men and women's restroom doors. And it's a good about 4 or 5 feet in between the restroom doors. And Yeah, so I go and use the restroom. I wash my hands, come back out, and my bag is gone. It was completely gone. The wall itself is painted, or was at the time painted, a bright lime green, almost like highlighter green color. And the floor reminds me of a basketball court floor, you know, the kind of bright yellowish wood planks or whatever. So very loud colors that you could you couldn't possibly overlook a big black laptop shoulder bag. But yeah, I came out and it was gone. So I about 3 feet away from the bathroom door is the a rear exit of this building I worked at. And Jeremy's back there. I see him taking garbage bags out to the dumpster. And so I open the door and I ask him, "Hey, Jeremy, did you take my bag outside? Did you move it or something?" And he's just like, "No, I never touched your bag." And I say to him, "Okay, well, that's funny because it's not where I remember leaving it." And so I figure I'll go and see if I left it somewhere else. I close the door, turn around, and there in between the two bathroom doors, exactly where I left it, is my shoulder bag. And, you know, I'm thinking about everything I just told you earlier. There's no way possible that I could have missed it when I came out of the restroom. It was not there. It was completely gone. And so I tell Jeremy about it. We come back in, we search the entire building, and of course there's no one there. Now, the only thing I know about anybody who would have lost their lives in that particular building, which there were different, it wasn't like a strip mall, but there were different businesses there, and also there was someone who lived next door. Like I said, it was kind of odd. I'm not really sure how this worked out, but one morning, the guy next door woke up to the sound of somebody fumbling around with the door to the entrance of his apartment. And he was a gun owner, and so he picked up his gun, went to the door just in time to see someone break the door in. And he points his gun at the intruder, and he says something along the lines of, "Stop. I have a gun. If you come any closer, I'm going to shoot you." And the intruder, he just stands there for a few seconds, and then he steps into the guy's apartment. And so the guy shoots him and he kills him. And that's the only thing I know about anyone who would have around that time lost their life at that particular location. If it was him, I don't know why he'd be haunting the catering company next door. But anyhow, I just wanted to share that with you. That catering company is it's long gone. It shut down in 2009. And it's been a few different businesses since then. I don't think that has anything to do with it being possibly haunted. But I just wanted to share that with you guys. I'm an EPP. I love the podcast. You guys are great together. You do a great job. I listen to you guys. I recently started working third shift, and I'm a janitor, and it's really very entertaining to have you guys playing all night long during my 8-hour shift. Thanks for everything you do, and keep up the great work. And Maybe I'll call in later if I realize I forgot another story. But, yeah, thanks. Bye.
You know, I don't know why it'd be haunting the catering company next door, other than maybe, like we talk about a lot on here, the footprint of the building may have changed since that, you know, intruder shooting happened all those years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's just something completely different. Maybe it has nothing to do with that at all, which is probably more often the case than not.
Maybe it's one that just likes chicken fingers. Just likes going to the catering company to get some snacks.
See, that's not why I'd be going to a catering company. I'd be all about, like, the pastries, the sweets and stuff. That's what I'm all about.
I think the most depressing thing about being dead is that you can't eat.
You don't know that.
Well, that's true, because we have had stories where people have said, and I don't know how they would know it, but the thought process was that they could just kind of, like, if you go near the food product or something, you can experience it without having, you know, you're not necessarily uh-huh. ingesting it, but then you get the flavor.
Okay.
I'd be hanging out at Red Lobster a lot.
You'd be the Cheddar Bay ghost.
I would be like the head that appears in the Cheddar Bay biscuit basket.
Okay.
Somebody's sitting at their table, and all of a sudden they're like, ah! Somebody really senses there's like, it's the head on the table.
It sounds like you're just going to be Slimer when you die.
The Cheddar Bay biscuit ghost. That would be me.
Yeah.
I would be kind of like Slimer when it, like, you know, the hot dogs and you're kind of the same, but Cheddar Bay biscuits for me. There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories. Online, let's go to Nick. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. Vinny Colm from Harlem. I've actually called in the past about an experience I had in college with when I was sitting night desk and the faucet next to me turned on. Nonetheless, I currently work at a historical house here in New York City. It's actually the oldest house in Manhattan. It's 251 years old. It was built by a British colonel and went on to be George Washington's only New York headquarters during the Revolution. He then returned and had his first cabinet meeting there, and then later on, it became a private residence again to a woman by the name of Eliza Jamel and her husband, Stephen Jamel. And she was a pretty fascinating lady herself, but shortly after she died in 1865, her family came to live there and started reporting hearing her in the hallways and rapping on windows and walls during the night. And throughout the years, the stories have really grown, and everyone who works there kind of has obtained their own story. And I actually, the first time I ever went there was for an investigation for a friend's bachelor party, of all things. We do investigations, and this was something that he wanted to do. So we went there, and about a year later, and I was working there full time as a programming manager. So now part of my job is that I get to lead investigations, and I just want to share a few of these experiences that we've had, that coworkers have had. Most of the activity centers around our executive director. She's been there 8 years, and the spirits seem to really like her. We do know that there's been two deaths in the house, Eliza Jamel and her husband, Stephen Jamel, and two potentially other deaths. One was a servant girl that hung herself, and another was a Hessian soldier that fell down the steps and landed on his bayonet. But stories have included one staff member saw a boot walking down the steps. Another was in the gift shop, and books started falling off of a book rack, but from the bottom up. As I said, our executive director, she was, in one day, we had two really cool things happen. We had the TV show Person of Interest filming there, and they had to stop filming because the sound crew was picking up voices on the third floor, and when they asked Carol to tell who's ever on the third floor to be quiet, she said that there's no one else in the house. So, and there was no one on the third floor. So the entire crew heard that. And then at the end of the day, when they had wrapped and left, she was turning off the lights in the restroom and shutting the windows, and she heard a woman come up the stairs and ask, is everything okay? And then go back down the stairs. She comes out of the bathroom, looks around, and she doesn't see anyone. She asks a coworker, hey, who is that? And he didn't hear anything. So They call the caretaker because they do have a teenage girl, teenage daughter that lives with them. And they were out of town. So, complete mystery. They don't know who that was, what happened. And a lot of things seem to happen in either Eliza Jamel's bedroom or in the basement. And in the basement, they've heard two female voices walking in, laughing, and then complete silence. And then again, they call the caretaker, because then it does become a thing of safety. Has someone gotten into the house that we don't know about? And again, they were out of town. So police have had to be called. A lot of weird things happen on a pretty consistent basis. So if you're ever in New York, please stop by. We'd love to have you. Anyway, thank you so much for what you do. It's a great show, and I really look forward to listening to it after dealing with a stressful day in New York City every day. All right, bye-bye.
Sounds like one hell of a house.
Yeah, it does. We'll definitely have to check that out, because I'm sure we'll be going back to New York sometime. But I can imagine that over time, the spirits that live there, or I guess live there, isn't that funny,
mm-hmm.
could kind of get used to the people that they see most frequently. So like the, you know, manager caretaker lady, mm-hmm. they probably like her because they know that she's, for one, taking care of the house, but then two, she's also there more frequently than anybody else.
Which would essentially just naturally increase your odds of being someone who gets to experience these things.
Yeah.
So that'd be interesting. It'd be a fun, you know, we get invited to a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, when you're in the area, come by. It'd be really funny just to like roll tape on this
uh-huh.
as we just show up at random to someone's house or business. Like, oh, hey, just stop by. We're here, you know, and just see what the reaction.
So last, what was it, Friday?
Yeah, where you were at Hertz Donuts.
I went to Hertz Donuts in Springfield. I don't know if he still works there, but we had a listener there, and I chickened out. I didn't say a word about who I was or anything.
Well, number one, I mean, you have to hit the odd that the person who wrote the story is still there, and it's several months now.
Yeah.
And that you're hitting their shift as well. Either you're going to get a lot of really strange looks, like, you do what?
Mm-hmm.
You're who? Or like, oh my God, wow. It's one of the two.
I didn't remember his name, and I'm so sorry. I should have remembered, but I didn't. And
yeah.
I had no idea where to even begin to go back and look. But I did. I totally chickened out. So if you still work there, let us know. We will come by because we love donuts.
They are delicious. Let me just see if I can.
I thought it was a phone call.
Was it a phone call?
I'm pretty sure it was a phone call.
Yeah, I think you're right because it's not showing up. Because I can, like, type into my Gmail, because all the stories go there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just, sometimes if it's something like that, I can type in a keyword, and it'll pop up. And, oh, there's a story from God knows when.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can kind of back search things, but nothing popped up. I think you're right. It was a phone call.
And I think their location may have a spirit or two in it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of getting that vibe?
Yeah. It's just that old of a building. There was,
sure.
Oh, man, I would love to have gone down. They had, like, this wooden door that lifts up from the floor that goes down to the basement,
mm-hmm.
and it's an old brick, you know, downtown building from like the 1880s. You just know that there's stuff that's happened there.
And you would have gone down there?
I would have, just because I'm curious.
She's getting braver.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, at some point she's like, I want to go to an investigation.
No, I don't, but yeah. I mean, it's a donut shop. What's the worst that can happen at a donut shop?
You can have donuts thrown at you. That I could be another. I could be a ghost. You would be the ghost at the donut shop. I'd
yeah.
be the Cheddar Bay. You'd be the donut. They'd be just freaking people out. Like, they're looking in the case for the crawlers or whatever, you know.
The maple bacon donuts.
The maple bacon donuts. And there's your head.
Yeah.
It's like, maple bacon head.
Okay.
That could be a t-shirt. Maple bacon head. That sounds
really
slightly
bad.
Slightly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That was just Nick in New York we heard, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go, because I have two Nicks here. Let's go to Nick in Colorado and hear your story. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Broskies. This is Nick calling in from Colorado. And today I have more of a question for you that goes along with the story. So, I mean, in my house ever since I was growing up, I always saw things and everything like that. I had ghosts. I got pretty used to them, actually. And I know, like, hauntings, and I've been around and seen stuff. But I can't wrap my head around this one completely. So I was just sitting in my house, and this actually happened about 2 days ago, I think, 2 or 3 days ago. And I'm sitting there, and I didn't hear anyone come into my house or anything like that. And I'm up in my room, and I kind of hear, like, some shuffling around and stuff. And I was like, oh, just my dog. And I look down, my dog is sitting on the floor of my room. So I was like, okay, like, just thought, oh, maybe it's the house ghost or something. But didn't really pay much attention to it. But then, like, 5 seconds later, I hear, like, heavy, like a man breathing. And I've never seen a man in my house before. Every time it's been a girl or, like, seems to be a girl. And it was just a very heavy, deep-sounding breath. And there was many of them, like, the whole time. So then I start thinking, like, oh, this isn't a ghost. There's someone in my house. I get so scared, I put 911 on my phone and have my finger ready to call, because I was, at that point, just 100% sure that someone was in my house, and I grabbed a baseball bat and was just ready, and I kind of waited there, and I wanted whoever was to know that I knew that they were there, so I started playing music really loud so they would know that I was where I was going, where I was coming, because I was actually hoping to they would run out or avoid me somehow. So I'm playing music from my phone, and I'm hearing all this stuff, and I'm like, okay. And I wait, like, probably a minute, and I was like, you know what, screw it, if someone's in my house, I have to take care of it. So I walked out, walking around, and I heard... Before I walked out of my room, I heard, like, some more shuffling, and it sounded like someone was walking down the hall, so I was assuming that person was leaving. And then I went downstairs, and the door to my garage was open, and I was like, okay, probably just someone in my house, like, didn't think paranormal at all. It was freaky, but didn't think paranormal. And then the next day, so yesterday, last night I was at home, and again, I was in a different room this time, but my dog was sitting on the, like, in between, like in the doorway. And all of a sudden, I kind of hear, like, the same kind of shuffling again. And I'd left the door open, so I was like, no way. Like, someone, again, like, what's going on? I hear the shuffling. And my dog, both times, was very aware of it. He's, like, looking around, acting like something was in there. And so this time, I had the baseball bat, luckily, readily available, so I grabbed it, and I walked out again, but this time I walked out right away, like, within moments of hearing it, and I heard breathing, too. I forgot, I left that part out, but I heard pretty much the same thing, shuffling again and breathing, and I was like, okay, here we go, and I grabbed my bat, and I walked out, and there was no one there, but my dog was kind of, like, searching around, too. Like, he seemed a little confused, and it was just weird. So now I'm wondering, was the first time, was it just a ghost? And if so, is there, like, a meaning behind that, or why do I keep hearing this breathing in my house? All right. Thanks for listening to my story. I hope you can help answer some of these questions. Have a good one.
You know, it's hard to know when you go from a home that you don't feel is haunted to all of a sudden you feel like it's haunted, why, or even if you're sure it's a ghost. But I think give it a little bit more time and something will, you know, definitely give you that tell that you know it's paranormal. But it's hard to know really what's going on right now. It's just almost too early.
You have the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if you get the rabies.
Okay.
That's
how it works.
That's how it works. Foaming at the mouth?
Yeah.
That's a real strong desire for water? There you go. Then you'll officially know you have the rabies. That's all.
I got nothing.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I think this is a call we haven't played yet. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I just love to tell you before I begin how much your show is amazing. That was not good English, but it's just an amazing show. And I love it, and it has saved me from many a boring night at work. So thank you so much. Keep doing what you're doing. It's amazing. And I'd like to tell you a ghost story of mine. I've had a lot of experiences because I'm pretty sure most of the buildings I work in have some kind of ghost living in them, along with the house my family owns in another state. Pretty sure there's something there, too. And just recently, I had a ghost actually, or at least something I couldn't see, actually touch me and hurt me, basically, is what happened. So I decided I would finally call in and tell you some of my stories. As if you want to hear more than just this one. So, my dad and I worked the night shift at the downtown theaters in Los Angeles sometimes. We do stuff like paint, or I paint, and we put in the sound systems and such. So, we usually work from about 11 p.m. to anywhere between 4 in the morning to 7 in the morning, and we're always the only two there. And we were working there earlier this month, and my dad was going down to the basement, and I was going to the top floor of the theater, which is about 4 floors up, and we said goodbye, and he went down to the basement, and I went up to the 4th floor, and I was on the 2nd floor, and I looked over at the mirror, because there's mirrors at the end of the hallway on every floor, and there were handprints up in the top right corner. I thought was weird because the cleaning crew had just been there and the theater had been closed for like months because it only opens on special occasions, and I didn't know, you know, why they wouldn't have cleaned that, and they were all layered on top of each other, and I just thought it was off. I'd have to remind them if I saw anybody, but I brushed it off and kept going. And I got to the 3rd floor balcony. And the way you get to the projection booth from the 3rd floor balcony is you have to go up another flight of stairs through a metal hallway, up a winding staircase, or spiral staircase, and then you're at the projection booth. And the hallway is, if there was a list of top 10 creepiest hallways built, it would be in it. I don't like it. I don't feel safe when I go into it. And, yeah, just don't like it. So I was standing outside the hallway, looking in it, trying to convince myself, you know, I can go in, nothing's going to happen. And I felt a hand touch my shoulder. And I remember very clearly, I felt the palm first, and then the fingers splayed out across my shoulder. And I thought it was my dad. So I turned around, and I see my dad, but he's walking across the stage, 3 floors down to get to the basement because I can see him over the balcony. And I'm staring at my dad trying to figure out what is touching my shoulder, and I hear a voice whisper in my ear, and it was a man's voice that said, "Don't worry, it won't hurt you." I dropped all my supplies and I ran back down the 3 flights of stairs, and I sat in the basement with my dad for like an hour, and I would not go back up there. So my dad finally walked me back up the stairs, and I got all set up, I started doing my work, and I felt really guilty about just running out and leaving him, or leaving whatever it was that had touched me, because it wasn't threatening. It was very comforting, actually. And I walked back down into the hallway, and I said, "I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to run. You just surprised me." And a voice, the same voice, said, "It's okay." And I didn't get scared. I just calmly walked back up the staircase and went back to my work, thinking, I've lost my mind, but that's okay. And we were leaving, and I was walking back down the 2nd floor. I was on the 2nd floor, and I looked back over at the mirror, and I noticed that the handprints weren't there, which, given everything that just happened, was really weird. And I saw something move out of the corner of my eye. I look over, and there's this big black shadow. It looks vaguely like a human. It wasn't mine, because I wasn't moving. Walk across the mirror that had the handprints on it, and my heart almost stopped. I got this feeling of dread and terror, and the same voice I've been in the projection booth said again, heard it again, don't worry, it won't hurt you. And then we left. So that's my story. Personally, I think there is a friendly ghost. Everyone says his name is Charlie, and he used to be a stage manager. And I think there's something else in there that I don't like, and I think that's why I don't like that hallway and other certain parts of the building, because it's not a constant fear. So I think whatever the shadow was is what is causing it. I've had other encounters with it, which, you know, if you're interested in like my story, I'll gladly call back in and tell about. So yeah, I love your show. Hope you keep doing it. Hope you guys have a great day, and hope you end up using me on your podcast. Bye.
I think it really comes down to the level of someone's sensitivity, if they can tell if it's good or bad. I think a lot of times I would just be freaked out, you know, no matter what it is.
I think she's right. I think there's two things going on, and what I think is going on is there was the dark, ominous feeling that she was getting, mm-hmm. was one entity, and then there was the good ghost that everybody talks about, Charlie, was the one saying, don't worry, it won't hurt you, meaning the other entity.
Sure. So you got two things going on.
Yeah.
And you just hope you're getting advice from the good one.
Yeah.
It's not, oh, that won't hurt you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see it being deceptive.
Well, I don't know.
Stranger things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I could just see it being fairly confusing. So I totally get that. Thank you for the story and calling in. 855-853-4802. Courtney in Colorado. Hi.
Hi, my name's Courtney. I live in Colorado. At the time of this story, I lived in Portland, Oregon. And we lived in this old house, probably built in the 1920s or so. It was really drafty. But it was a cute house. I never felt anything paranormal there. Honestly, I'm a skeptic, and I find most paranormal stories hard to believe, as much as I love to listen to them, and I'm a fan of your show. But this was one experience that I couldn't explain. I wonder if you guys think it's paranormal. I was in the shower, and let me just explain the layout of our bathroom. It was this little bathroom, pretty narrow. The width of the bathroom was only as wide as the bathtub, which spanned the back wall. So when you walk in the door of the bathroom, you first walk past the sink, then you walk past the toilet, then you're at the bathtub, which goes all the way across the back wall. And it had this funny, instead of a shower curtain, it had this funny door that closed accordion style all the way across from wall to wall. So when you're standing in the shower, you have this plastic door that you unfold and close in the center. I hope that makes sense. But at the bottom of that door, the plastic angles inward so that the water would drip down into the bathtub. So that's the setup. So I was in the shower, and I dropped my razor while I was shaving. And I have one of those Venus razors, which some of your listeners might know. If you drop them, the head of the razor always pops off, and you have to snap it back on. So I dropped it, and I heard it clatter, and I knew that the head would have popped off, and I looked down, and there was only the handle on the floor of the bathtub, and the head with the blade was just gone. It just wasn't there, and I spun around in circles like 5 times because, you know, I'm in a bathtub. Like, you can't miss anything. I was just, you know, standing in a white bathtub, and I wasn't wearing clothes, obviously, so there wasn't anything it could have clung to, I search all around. I'm looking in ridiculous places, like up on the high shampoo shelf, like behind all the shampoo, and eventually I just have to give up and finish my shower without shaving and just call it a loss. And I was just really confused. But so I finished my shower and I came out. I went over to brush my teeth, and the razor head was in the sink. And which is so impossible because the accordion door that I described has that lip that goes over the edge of the bathtub. So if the razor head had bounced, it wouldn't be able to go up under the bath door. And if it had gone over the door, it would have had to go, you know, vertically. Like, it would have to bounce straight up 6.5 feet in the air, and then just between the crack of that door and the ceiling, take a right angle turn and then travel several feet over to the sink. Like, again, the toilet's between the shower and the sink, so the razor would have had to go all the way up to the ceiling, make a sharp right turn, and then go several feet. So there's no way that a natural curve could happen. And also, I didn't hear that delay of a bounce. Like, I didn't hear it land that far away. So it was really crazy, and I got chills, and I was really creeped out by it. But I had no explanation for it. I ran out of the bathroom, and I pulled my roommate in there, and I made him look at it and help me figure out if there was any possible way the razor head could have bounced out of the shower like that. And we both agreed that it was just impossible. So I don't know if that seems ghostly to you, but it seems impossible, and I'm wondering if you guys have any opinions on it. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Isn't it funny that for the excuse for something that is physically impossible, we use paranormal? I just think it's funny because this, with that flying out and landing outside the tub, outside mm-hmm. of where, and like 90 degrees and all that, paranormal is really the only thing that could possibly explain it. I don't know.
At some point, you just kind of have to go there.
I know.
When there's no longer like, because there's a lot of things you could somewhat logically explain. Some may be a far-fetched thing where it's like, well, in theory, this, but at some point it's like, no, not even in theory, this will not be a possibility.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes you just kind of got to go there. There's really no other way around it.
And I don't think if she'd even thrown the thing down, it would have had enough force to have landed where she said it landed.
Yeah, it's at some point you just kind of got to go. Yeah, probably paranormal. So there you go. All right, that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help us stay on the air, become an EPP, sign up on the website ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of the show, more than 100 of them now. Not bad, actually more than 101 at this point. Also, exclusive video content, Seeing Ghosts, all those episodes, brand new one coming up very, very soon, if not already by the time this broadcasts. So lots of nice, nice extras there. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Click Become an EPP and help us stay on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.